I want the saints here to know that I love you. You're my family. I've lived here about almost 21 years now, and you've become very dear to me. And I appreciate each one, and I want to see each one here make it to heaven. And I want to see inside of God's heaven too. In a family, there's rubs sometimes. I think you know what I'm talking about. If you have children, children get to rubbing on one another once in a while, but they still love one another. And they come back and say they're sorry and fix those things up. So I want to say tonight that if I've rubbed on you a little here and there along the way, I'm sorry for that. I want you to forgive me for that. I want you to go ahead and love me. We have a thought tonight. I'll let you decide what to call it, whether it's a lesson or a study or a message. I'll let you put the title on it. But I want to give what the Lord has laid upon my heart, and it didn't come today. It came several weeks ago in the middle of the night. And we need the Lord to bless it to our good. I am concerned about the work of God on every level. And we're just family here tonight. And I don't know what your purpose in being here is, but I hope it's the right purpose. This is not a ball game. We're not here to be entertained, and I'm not here to entertain you. And I hope that's not your expectation. This is not a seminar. This is not a convention. My desire is that we have come into the presence of Almighty God. And I hope we look at it that way. And I want us to look at some scripture tonight to start this off, to solemnize our hearts a little bit and cause us to realize where we are. In Exodus, the 19th chapter, I want us to know how the presence of God affected His people, and how the presence of God should affect you and I. Like I said, we're not at a ball game tonight. We didn't go to a concert. We're not at a concert to be entertained. I want us to notice here in the 19th chapter of Exodus, and this was the time when God called Moses to gather His children together and bring them to the mount. We're going to read some scripture. We may have to read a lot of scripture. You bear with us. If you have your Bible, which I hope you do, you follow along. And may the Lord give us understanding and bring the fear of God upon our hearts and give us a lesson here tonight that He's wanting us to get. And may it come down to each one. This is a lesson, instruction to everyone here. It reaches to the child that's sitting beside you perhaps. It reaches the young person, the married, the aged, it reaches to us all. God wants to minister to our souls, and He wants us to realize unto whom we have come and the seriousness of that. In Exodus, the 19th chapter, and we're going to start reading at the 10th verse, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of the people upon Mount Sinai." Do we want the Lord to come down tonight? Is that why we're here tonight? I hope it is. We want the Lord to come down in our midst. How should we be affected by that? What should be our frame of mind? Let's read on here. "And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up unto the mount, nor touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death." It was a serious, serious thing to be coming into the presence of Almighty God. And when we come here to assemble ourselves together, we're coming in the presence of Almighty God. We could not come here lightly and chaffy and sit around and talk and visit and play. We're coming into the presence of Almighty God. He has a message. He had something here to tell the people. It was a serious thing. It's serious for you and I tonight. It's serious for every time God's people assemble together. That's the intention and the purpose, is that He may come down in our midst and minister to us. He has a message for us. It's for our good. God loves us. He has a heaven to take us to, and He's trying to prepare us for that. And it's not a light thing for us to come into His presence and ignore Him, have no respect for Him, visit during the altar call, laugh and talk. It's a serious thing. We're dealing with eternity. This is no light thing that we're talking about. Notice the seriousness of it, the awesomeness of it. As these people came into the presence of Almighty God, notice what took place and what happened. There shall not an hand touch it, talking about the mountain that God was on. But he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. It was serious. It shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. God was calling an assembly here. He was calling His children Israel to come to the mount. I have something to say to you. And so God is telling you and I tonight, when we gather in assembly such as this, come together. I'm going to sound the trumpet. I have a message for you. I have something to give you. It's a matter of life and death. It's that serious, see. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, Be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that... Now notice what took place. He told them on the third day, that's when you're to come. Be prepared. There was a preparation to be made. When we come into the presence of God, there's a preparation to be made. When we come to service, how do we come? Do we come just because it's the time to come? Do we make a preparation before we come? God required them here to do some preparing before you come into my presence. And it would do us well, you and I, me included, to take some time, prepare ourselves for the service before we come. God help us. If we're guilty of not doing that, Lord help us to begin to do that. You are coming into the presence of Almighty God. He wants to minister to you. He wants to talk to your heart. And if we come in here with the world on our minds, or come in from the world and taking part in those kind of things, we're not going to be in condition of mind and heart to set before Almighty God and receive the message that He has for you and I. These people were coming into the presence of God, and it was a serious thing. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. There was no laughing, there was no playing, there was no joking. This was a serious time. The trumpet sounded, and it sounded loud, and all the people heard it. They saw the lightnings and the thunder and the cloud descend upon the mount. The presence of God was coming, and it was a serious thing. And it said they trembled. How do we come into our service? How do we come to worship the Lord? Do we come in fear and trembling? It said the people trembled. Lightnings. Thunder. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. The nether part of the mount. Nether means the bottom or the beginning. They were down at the bottom of this mountain. That's where they came to. When we come into the presence of God, how are we going to have to come into His presence? Do we try to get up there on His level high and lift it up? No, we come before Him prostrate at His feet to the nether side of the mountain sea. That's our approach unto God. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. This was something awesome to behold. Thunders and lightnings in fire preceded the lowering or the coming forth of God here to meet these people. I'm sure it got their attention. And God is trying to get your attention and my attention tonight. And every time that we gather and assemble together, let us be in this condition of these people in fear and trembling before God, looking to Him to minister to us. He had a message for these people. And He wanted to get their attention, and He got their attention. And the fear of the Lord came upon them. And we need to have the fear of the Lord, reverence, a godly fear, not a terror, a fear that's a terror. For God loves us and He wants to minister to us. But He expects us to have respect unto Him and honor. And when the voice, the Lord descended upon it with fire, and smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Think of this. This was a fearful thing to those people. How are we entering into the presence of the Lord? And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder and louder. Can you hear it? Can you hear it ringing? This trumpet sound faint and then getting louder and louder and louder. It was calling and reaching to the person that was the farthest away. God is calling all of us into His presence. And the trumpet is sounding louder and louder and louder. How are we responding? How are we being affected? Are we fearing and trembling God and coming into His presence with reverence and godly fear? And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down, charge the people, lest they break through upon the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And so this is the way that God came to them. And He had a message for them. And He had something for them to tell them. And so He gave them the law. We know what the law was. In the 20th chapter, it tells us about the law that God gave unto them and the importance and so forth of that. And we want to go over into the 20th chapter now and look about the 18th verse. And it said, And all the people saw the thunderings, all of them. There wasn't a one left out. When that trumpet sound, when that mountain began to burn with fire, where there was lightnings and thunderings, and the mountain began to quake and shake, it got everyone's attention. And God is trying today to stir and quake and reach every soul. He has a message for them. And it's a message of love. It's a message of redemption. And it's also a message of judgment. See, we can't leave out the other side. There's mercy, but there is judgment. And God is sending that message forth still today. In the 18th verse, And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. The fear of God was upon them. They were standing off in reverence, in godly fear. How are we approaching unto God? How are we allowing God to approach unto us? Are we hearing the sound of the trumpet? Are we having respect unto Him when we come into the assembly of the saints, when He desires to minister to us? It's a serious matter. It's a fearful thing. They said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. See how serious this was with them? Coming into the presence of God? Very serious. These were God's people, His chosen people, those that He had delivered out of Egypt and brought them out into this wilderness place. And He was coming down to speak to them and to give Him their law, His law. Let's go to another place. This was Moses. Let's go see how it affected Isaiah when he came into the presence of God. In Isaiah, the 6th chapter. How is it affecting us? The 6th chapter says, In the year, in the first verse, that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. This is our God. He's not down here on a level. We don't want to bring Him down where we're at. God is high and lifted up. And He wants us to recognize that, acknowledge that, and have respect unto that. And His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each had 6 wings. With twain He covered His face. Twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And here's what He said. And He cried. And one cried, these seraphims said, And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy. We are coming into the presence of a holy God. This is no time to make light, to make fun, to play. We are coming in the presence of a holy, holy, holy God. There's something serious about that. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. You can see the glory of God everywhere. If you look around, you can see it. And these seraphims were announcing this. This is a holy God. Holy, holy, holy. Are we treating it that way when we come to service? Are we having respect unto God in that way when He endeavors to minister to us? And notice here what it says. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Here we have it again. Something exceptional taking place. When God's around, things begin to move. It's a serious time. It's not a laughing time. It's a serious time for us all. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. How should we feel when we come into the presence of Almighty God? Can we stand up brazenly? Can we laugh in His face? It caused this prophet to look at himself, didn't it? He said, Woe is me, for I am undone. You know, we're undone. We don't have a thing to present within ourselves to present to God. To stand up to Him, we have nothing at all. We are undone. And this prophet recognized that, and he said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Have you seen the King, the Lord of hosts? I want to see Him. I want to see Him every time I come into this assembly. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. God is wanting to purge us. He's wanting to purge sin. He's wanting to purge self. He's wanting to empty us out of everything but Him. He wants to fill us with all the fullness of Himself. That is the purpose of assembling together like we're assembled tonight, that we may call down God, that He may honor us with His presence, and that we may sit before Him and be ministered by His Spirit, ministered to by His Spirit. But if we have no respect unto Him, if we come in here casually, not honoring Him, not having respect unto Him, there's serious judgment. There's serious judgment that comes upon that. Let's look now in the Revelation book, in the first chapter. Apostle John here on the Isle of Patmos, he had a visitation from the Lord. And I want us to notice how it affected the Apostle John. There was a message here that God had for the prophet. There was a message that He had for Moses and the children of Israel. There was a message here that He had for John. There was something that He wanted to give to John, something that He wanted John to do. And God has a message for you, and He has a message for me. How are we going to receive it? How are we going to come into His presence? Notice how these people came into His presence. God help you and me to enter into His presence in the same spirit. The spirit of humility as these people, and in fear and in trembling, God is wanting to minister to you and I. The revelation of Jesus, first chapter, Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. This was a message that the angel was bringing to John. And that message was preserved, and it has come down to you and me. And it means the same for us as it did for them back there. How are we receiving it? This is how God wants to minister those things to you and I. It's through settings just like this. It's His plan. But He wants us to fear and tremble before Him and allow His Spirit to move up and down in our hearts and affect us, that we can receive His truth. It's the truth that will set us free. It's the truth that will allow us to see inside of God's heaven. I want to see it. And I want you to see in it. And God wants you to see inside of it also. And He's doing all He can to prepare, make opportunity for you and I to prepare ourselves for that great day. We'll drop on down to the 10th verse of the first chapter. The Apostle John writing here, he said, "And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." How do we come to service? Do we come in the Spirit? Or what Spirit do we come in? Do we come in the Spirit of the world? Do we come in the Spirit of all of our burdens and our problems? Do we come with the Spirit of rejoicing and praise and homage to our God? It says here, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." A trumpet is an instrument that's used to get attention. And there are certain sounds that the trumpet gives that meant different things. And in Revelation and in Scripture and in prophecy, the trumpet represented a message. So there was a message here for John. "A great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book." The message I have for you, John, is the things that I'm fixing to show you, I want you to write this in a book. And I want it to be preserved because I've got some people that are going to come to pass and down through the ages, and they need this to prepare them for my heaven. Can we receive the message tonight? Are we in the state of mind and presence that we can receive it when God tries to minister them to us? Thunders and lightnings and fires and quaking mountains. God used those means to get their attention and their respect, and it brought fear and trembling upon them. What is it going to take from God to get your attention and my attention? That we'll have respect unto Him, and that we'll listen to the message that He has. You know, God has a message for each one of us personally, individually, and He's wanting to minister that to you and I. And the way that we receive that many times is across the pulpit, from teaching, in settings just like this. That's why we come here. He told us, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." Why? Because I have something to minister to you. "What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches, which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea." And I turned to see the voice that spake to me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of God, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet likened to fine brass, and they were burned as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. This is what John was seeing. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, what happened? He says, "I fell at his feet as dead." As dead. I fell at his feet. God wants us to fall at his feet as dead. Dead to ourselves, dead to our own ways, humble, low down, emptied out. I have a message for you. See, and as long as you are full of yourself, I'm not going to be able to put anything into you. And so the apostle here, when he beheld this vision, it said he fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Thank the Lord. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Sounds like someone we need to listen to. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And so the message goes on. But I want us to get a hold of how John was affected by the presence of God. He said he fell down at his feet as a dead person. How are we being affected? How are we coming into the presence of God? Oh Lord, may the fear of God rest upon us in a greater measure. Now our message. In Joel, the second chapter, starting at the first verse, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. That's what God has called His ministers to do, is to blow the trumpet, or to give forth the message that He has for His people, for all of mankind. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm. There's something to be alarmed about, saints. There's something to be alarmed about. That's what the trumpet was for, was to sound a warning, an alarm to your battle stations. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. When God sends forth His word, when He sends us a message, it's time for us to fear and tremble before Him. And be thankful. Be thankful that He's had mercy and He has sent us warning. He's sent us counsel. And His message is not always judgment. It's mercy and it's love. And He's doing all that He can to temper us and to improve us and to enable us to be of greater service to Him. That's His desire for you and I. And that's the desire of the ministry, is to encourage and to bless and to lift up and to help along the way. In the 12th verse of this chapter, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. Here's the message. In this particular situation here, the Israelites, there was judgment coming, see. And he was rehearsing here the terribleness of God's judgment and exhorting them to repent. And so he says here, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fastings and with weeping and with mourning. We need to turn to God with all of our heart, all the time. When we come into this assembly, let us honor Him, let us worship Him, and let us turn to Him with all our heart. He has so much to minister unto us. So much. This book is rich, and I hope it's getting as rich to you as it is to me. It has so many messages in it that has never been preached. There are so many truths, so many deep things in there, and we can spend our whole life, every moment of our life, and we'll never uncover all the riches that are there. But let us be doing it all that we can. There's such a richness and preciousness in God's Word. And He's wanting to dispense that to you and I. He's wanting to minister that to you and I. Isaiah 62. You pray for us. In the first verse of this 62nd chapter of Isaiah, The writer here says, "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth." This is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful promise to you and me. God's interest in you and me is so great that He said that for your sake and for my sake, for Zion's sake, the church's sake, for His body's sake, I will not hold my peace. Even though the enemy may work havoc in your life, maybe he will deceive you, maybe you lose out with God, God is not satisfied with that. He said, "I'll not hold my peace. I'll continue to blow the trumpet. I'll continue to send forth the message of redemption. There's hope in God. There's salvation in God." And he's saying here, "I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof," talking about the righteousness of God's people, of His church, that city that's set up on a hill that cannot be hid, "until it goes forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth." It's something that's going to be seen in this world. That's what our God is doing. He said, "I will not hold my peace." If you come into the assembly of the saints, just don't think that the Lord is not going to hold His peace. He wants you, and He wants me. And He wants you out of the devil's clutches if you're in the devil's clutches. And if we need areas perfected in our life, He's wanting to help us to get those areas perfected. And He has all of that for us. In the sixth verse of this chapter, he says, "I have set watchmen upon the walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night." If you're expecting to come to the service where the saints are and not get under conviction, not going to work. Why? "Because I have set watchmen upon the walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence." He's talking to his ministers here. Don't be cowed down. Don't be afraid for their faces. Keep not your peace. Preach the truth. Preach it in love. And reach out to those souls that they too might enjoy the sweet Spirit of the Lord, the blessings that accompany that, and the wonderful reward that's in store at the end of the way. That's what we're looking for, see. But he tells us to blow the trumpet. He'll not hold his peace. And the watchman that he places on the wall, he says, don't you hold your peace either. Preach the truth. Be instant in season and out of season. Take every opportunity to declare my truth. You know we're going somewhere tonight. When you left home, you were going somewhere, weren't you? And you've arrived there now. But we still got someplace to go. And that place is the judgment, all of us. And that's important that you and I realize that, and that we realize it all the time. Because we have a way of pushing that back sometimes, kind of hiding that back and trying to escape from that in our minds. But God wants us to be constantly reminded that we're going somewhere and that we're going to stand before Him. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, we want to use the word tonight. I'd rather have Jesus speak than me speak. And this is His word. Not my word, but I love it, and I hope you'll embrace it and love it also. In the 2 Corinthians, 5th chapter, the 10th verse, he says here, "For we must all," that word A-L-L, that's a little word with a big, far-reaching, all-encompassing meaning. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." What for? I'll be there. You'll be there. The thief on the cross will be there. It says all of us will be there. And here's why we're going to be there. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be bad or whether it be good. There's a reckoning day coming, see? We're going to have to answer to God. And I may shun him today, and I may turn him away today, and I may not have respect unto him. And I may not come into his presence with fear and trembling, and with respect as I should today. And I may push it back and push it away and try to hide from it. But the day's coming, see. It said, every knee shall bow. There's a scripture, I think it's in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, 27th verse. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You see, we're not going to escape it. We may not go to the judgment in this life, but if we pass and go on out into eternity, the judgment's still out there. And it's still there. We're going to meet it. And how will we meet it? I'm thankful for everyone that's saved. And I'd encourage everyone here tonight that's not saved to yield your heart to the Lord. Because not only are you missing the best thing right now, but look what you're going to miss in eternity. It's so serious. It's so serious. Oh, taste and see. There's something wonderful here to partake of. And the Lord is wanting us all to partake of it. Those of us that have yielded our hearts and our lives to God and are enjoying the blessings of the Lord, all of us are in different places in our life, in our spiritual walk and experience with the Lord. And God is trying to do all He can to encourage us to deepen down and draw closer. He has more for us to do. He has a work for us to do. He has something for you to do and something for me to do. And you and I may say, well, what is it? I don't know what it is. What can I do? What should I do? God has something for us to do. And let's look in, I think it's Luke, the 19th chapter. Jesus gave a parable here. And there's something important in that for you and me. There's a warning in it, and there's a blessing in it. Starting in the 11th verse. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. These were the Jews that Jesus was with. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants, and he delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy till I come. That's what I want to deal with a little bit here. Occupy till I come. God has saved you now, and you're on your way to heaven. But you're not there yet. You're on your way, but you're not there yet, see? And there's something to do. God has something for each one of us to do. And he told them not just to have a good time and ease on in there, but he says, you occupy here till I come. And he gave them something. He gave to each one of those something. He put something in their hand, and he has given you and I, he has put something in your and I's hand. And he's told us to occupy till we come. And that doesn't mean just sit down on it. But he wants us to do something with that which he has given unto us. How are we coming into the presence of the Lord with what he has put in our hand? Do we consider it with fear and trembling? Are we seeking him to know how better to use it or what to do with it? I want us to look in Matthew, the 25th chapter, and another rendering of this, or a similar parable. 14th verse of the 25th chapter of Matthew, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." Some say, well, God's not equal. Some people seem to be blessed with more and some with less, and some have greater natural abilities and so forth. But notice he ministered unto each one of them according to their several ability. And you also know he required of them according to those abilities that they had. And it says here, "And then he that received the 5 talents went and traded the same and made them other 5 talents. In Luke it said, "Occupy till I come." How are we occupying tonight? How are we occupying with what God has given us? Whether it be 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent, how are we occupying? This young man that he gave 5 to, he got busy right away here, it says, and went and traded the same and made them other 5. And likewise he that received 2, here's another one. He didn't have as much ability, he didn't receive as much, but he got busy with what God gave him, and he went out and put it to work. And it said, and he traded. And likewise he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid the Lord's money. How are we occupying tonight? How are we occupying with what God has given us? Are we busy with it? Or are we hiding it in the earth? God's message, see? What's the result of that? "And after a long time, the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoned with them." You see, there's a reckoning day. God's coming back. And I may feel like, well, I'm saved and I'm just living, I'm not sinning, and I'm living a pretty good life, and but am I occupying? See, am I occupying? Am I hiding what the Lord has given me in the earth? Or am I faithfully out there occupying, see, putting it to work, doing what I can? The Lord came back, and He reckoned with them. And God is coming back to reckon with you and I. And it's so serious. It's so serious. He's going to reckon with us for the opportunities that He gave us, see. I put it off. Occupy till I come. Take advantage of the opportunities that God gives you when He comes to minister your soul. Take advantage and opportunity of that. What a blessing and a privilege to have God come down and minister to me individually. Me. You. Who are we? Who am I? That God, Almighty God, would come down and take notice and attention of me individually on a personal basis. That's our God. And that's how much He loves us. And He's wanting us to occupy and put to work and put to use that which He has blessed us with and given us. And I have found as you begin to do that, He blesses that and multiplies that. Notice what these in this parable they did. They put it to work and it produced abundance of fruit, 100-fold. But the one that went and hid it in the earth, it didn't accomplish a thing. Not a thing. And the Lord came back to reckon with them. And let's notice the reckoning. "And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more." Good report. That's the kind of report that we want to have, is it not? That I can stand before God and report, "I've occupied, Lord, until you came." His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Blessed words. Went and hid it. Did nothing with it. It was unfruitful. It produced nothing. How is our lives tonight? Are we producing fruit for God? Or have we just kind of put ourselves on a shelf and put ourselves away from the service of the Lord? But I'll come to service and I'll sit on the pew. I'll live a good moral life. I'll try to stay out of trouble. But I don't have much testimony and I don't have much witness in the world. God's coming back to reckon, see? Those two, he said, well done. How are we going to come before the Lord? What are we doing? Time is going so fast. Well done. That's what he said to two of them. Or will he say, what have you done? What have you done? Saints, what are we doing? What are we doing with what God has given us? It's a great responsibility, you know. And we must answer for it. We are going to appear before God, every one of us, as the Scripture said, and give an account. We're going to answer for what we have done. What have we done? So the question is, what can we do? Lord, what can I do? You've saved me. You've sanctified me. What can I do, Lord? You know, there's something for every one of us. And we can answer that prayer ourselves many times. Well, Lord, what can I do? And that answer is right at our doorsteps many times, the answer to that. And it's something for all of us to ask. Children, God has something for you to do. That's right. Little child shall lead them, the Scripture says. God has work for you, little children. Young people, occupy till I come. God has something for you to do. This life is not a boring life. It's a joyful life. Put your all, your heart, everything into it. And the great reaping of blessings and benefits to your soul that will strengthen and sustain you when you are ostracized. And when you're looked down upon, and when you're shunned, when you're made fun of, it's the blessing of the Lord in your soul that's going to sustain you during those times. And it's when you occupy and get busy for God that He will be endeared to you and the blessings will flow and it'll give you the grace and the strength and the courage that you need to face those times when you're cast out, looked down on, laughed at, made fun of. Little children, young children. I want us to notice in the Scripture, and we're running out of time. Time's going so quick. But I want us to notice how God used little children. He told us to occupy. That reaches down to all of us, from the littlest, from the youngest to the oldest. God has given you and I something to do. Remember Naaman? There was a man of authority, but he'd come down with a horrible, terrible thing. And it was leprosy. An awful thing. A death sentence, if you will, for this man. And there was in his household, I think it was his wife's handmaid, a little girl. We're talking about something that little folks can do. And she had a message for Naaman, see? She said, there's a prophet of God back in my country. This little girl was a captive. She was a slave. But she knew about God, see? And you can be a little child and maybe not have the best situation in life, but you can know God. And you can do something for God, just like this little girl. She wasn't afraid to talk to her mistress that she was waiting on and tell her about the God of Israel. See, there's a prophet back there, and he can pray for Naaman, and he can be healed of his leprosy. A little child shall lead them. Occupy till I come. There's something for little children to do tonight. And what was the result of that? What was the end of that? This little child that was faithful, she stood up for her God, and she made him known to her master that she was a slave to. Wasn't a very good situation in life. But that was the salvation of that man. That was the salvation of that man. A little child, see. So children, there's something God has for you to do. There's something God has for you to do. What about the feeding of the 5,000? How did that come about? Here was a great company of people that Jesus was teaching, a long ways from anywhere where they could get something to eat, and they were faint. And the disciples were saying, "Send them away, Lord, send them away." And Jesus said, "No." And they said, "Well, we don't have anything to feed them. What are we going to do?" And so they cast about and they found a child, a young lad here. And this young lad had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And the disciples looked at that, and what did they say? "What is that among so many?" They were looking at the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And you know that little lad? And that little lad could be one of these little lads sitting right here. And he could have looked in his basket and he said, "I'm a long ways from home. And I haven't eaten all day. And I'm going to need a meal before I get home. I'm just going to have to hold on to this for myself." The Lord wants us to give what we have. Whether we're a little child or we've been in the way for 80 years. And that little child, it didn't say he drew back or he withheld, but he gave it to the disciples. He gave what he had, and that's what God's asking of you and me, from the littlest and to the greatest, from the youngest to the oldest. And so this young child blessed all those people through his obedience. He gave what he had. It wasn't very much, but he gave what he had, and when God got done with it, just a little bit, but when God got done with it, look what it did. Look how many people it blessed. And the abundance that was left over, that little boy didn't have to worry about starving to death on the way home. But he gave what he had. And so ministered through the blessing of the Lord to all of those people. The parable here says, "Occupy till I come." And that occupation reaches to us all. The children, young people, do you want to know what you can do for God? God has something for you to do also. And you may say, "Well, I don't have any special talent. I don't feel like I have any special abilities. I don't know how to go about this or to go about that. What can I do?" Give him a willing heart. Give him a willing heart. Look at David. David was a lad out there taking care of his father's sheep. He loved God. And he learned the secret of God's power in his life. And look how God used him to deliver the nation Israel from the fear of the Philistines, from that great army. God has something for young people to do. There is a scripture in the Bible, and someone can look it up. It says, the singers shall be there and the players on instruments. And it's talking about, when it says about players on instruments, it's talking about those that sound the trumpet. It's talking about the ministry. There's a place for the ministry, and there's a place for singers. And young people, you can sing. And you may say, "Well, I can't sing that good." Well, if you can't make a joyful noise, make a happy racket. But do something for God. "Occupy till I come," he said. You can do that. You can do that. How many of us have been blessed through the ministry of song of the young people. And it can be spontaneous. You don't have to get up here. If the Lord lays a song on your heart and you're sitting in the assembly, break loose with that song. Obey the Lord. Many times, the minister has been encouraged and blessed as he tried to minister the Word when God would give a song and someone back there would obey the Lord and break out in song. And how many times have souls been broken because of the singing? Young people, there's something that you can do too. The Scripture said, "Occupy till I come." I've given something into your hand, and I'm coming to reckon with you. Be a friend to the unsaved young people. Be a friend to them. Just show them love. You don't have to be condescending. You don't have to be judgmental. But if God has put His Spirit in your heart and filled your heart with gladness and with joy, let that bubble of over and run over and bring conviction upon that unsaved person. There's a job for young people to do. Courting couples. There's a job for you too. And it goes beyond getting acquainted with one another. And I can speak from experience. And there's others in here that are married now that can speak from experience. But there are things that you can do for God during that period in your life. And that's being an example to the other young people that are coming on. That's important, see? That's important. Occupy till I come. When Armagale and I were going together, we didn't live in the same town. And we didn't get to see each other very frequently. And I've heard some say, well, there's just nothing to do. There's plenty to do. And you can court while you're serving the Lord, while you're working for the Lord. Because you can work together for the Lord in your courtship. We found things to do for the Lord while we were going together. We went and visited some of the older saints that needed encouragement. Occupy till I come. See, there's something for us to do. We didn't feel specially capable or able. We went and prayed with some that were sick. Brother Steve Henry, how many of you remember him? He had a tumor in his head. And we went to his home and prayed with him and visited him and tried to encourage him. He was trusting God, and he did trust God all the way. There's some things, young people, that you can do. Elderly saints that aren't able to get out to service all the time, you bless their lives when you go and visit them. When you take time, and you have a lot to do, and you're busy all the time going places and doing things, take time. Occupy till I come. God has something for you to do. Let's move on to parents. There's something for parents to do too. Young parents, life is very busy for you, and sometimes you may feel like, especially young mothers that have children, and if you have more than one child and they're young and they're close together, your life is very busy. And it gets difficult and it gets monotonous and it gets to be a routine and a sameness about it. And you may become frustrated and feel like this is all life consists of, and I'm not really making any progress. I'm not really doing anything for God. You've got the biggest job on your hands of working for God that you will ever have during your lifetime, probably. That right there is the work for God that God has given you at that time in your life. It's that little family that He has given you. And He has told you in His Word for you to raise those children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Those years of time when there's bottles and there's diapers, you're occupying. Be faithful at that. Occupy. Be an example before them. Teach them about God through example. Allow them to find you on your knees Get close to your children. Be a friend to your children. It's a big mission field right on your own doorstep. And God is going to come back and reckon with young parents on how they are occupying during that time. See, there's something to do for God. That young child that you take time for and that you minister to as you occupy for God, God may turn that person into a firebrand for Him someday. Because you were faithful and busy at your job and occupied and doing what He had called you to do at that time. Is He going to say, "Well done"? Or is He going to say, "What have you done? What did you do while you had those little children?" "Well, I left them with a babysitter. We just couldn't make ends meet." "Well done. What have you done? Where are they now? Where were you when they needed you?" Work days. You know, working for God is more than standing behind the pulpit. It's more than teaching Sunday school. It's a lot more than that. It's a whole lot more than that. And work days at church is a part of occupying till I come. But see, some of us don't put too much value on that, do we? When was the last time that you attended a work day? Young people can attend a work day too. And parents, you do well to make yourself a part of the work day and to make your child a part of the work day. If you never come to a work day, what's the chances of your child growing up and seeing the importance of helping out on work day? We're just family here tonight, and we're just touching on things that God wants to help us with. That we occupy as He would have us occupy, that when we come before Him, we'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What about neighbor children? Are they a bother to you? Do they trouble you? Mission field. Occupy till I come. Sister Vera Forbes. A lot of you knew her. Sister Sylvia's mother. She had a mission effort, if you will, working in a project, housing project during the war, reaching all these young children with Jesus. Occupy till I come. Get busy. You see? And most all of us have neighbors, and a lot of times they have children. And maybe their children are children's ages. Share Jesus with them. Occupy till I come, see? In Acts, and someone helped me find this, it's where He told them to choose out seven men. Sixth chapter of Acts. This is a so important and needful thing in the church. And it brings the fear of God upon me. Here was a situation that arose in the church where the ministry was having to spend all their time solving problems and waiting on tables, if it were, and was not really able to get out and minister the Word. And so they found it good to select some brethren to take care of this work that the ministry was being encumbered with. And I want you to notice what the qualifications were, what they were told to do here. In this sixth chapter of Acts, second verse, "Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, It's not reason that we should leave the world, word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. God is needing men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And where are these men going to come from? And how are they going to get full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom? It's going to come from that child, this child down here, that told Naaman's wife about the God in Israel being faithful as a little child and being faithful and staying yielded, that God can fill them with all His fullness and His Holy Ghost. There's such a need. There's such a need in the church for men and women full of the Holy Ghost. That's a challenge to me. This said, full of the Holy Ghost. It didn't say full of foolishness. It didn't say full of themselves. The work of God is serious, and it's suffering for one of men full of the Holy Ghost. Occupy till I come. Let's talk about the elder. If the Lord allows us to live, someday we'll be the elder. And some of you are the elder. And you've been where we stand and where the younger stand. And you've been faithful and you have occupied faithfully. And that's wonderful. But now you're not in a place where you're able to do the things that you once did, see? You're not able to come and go as you once did. You're not able to minister in the same manner in which you once did. But God didn't say, retire. God didn't say, go sit on a shelf somewhere and wait till I come and get you. The word was here to occupy till I come. I still got a work for you to do. I still have something for you to do. And sometimes the ministry will change. And maybe it may not be as active as it once was. There's a scripture in Psalms 92 and 14. I won't get it, but it says something to this effect, that they would bear fruit in old age. Your work's not done, see? Occupy till I come. I still have something for you to do. Just being here faithful and regular at service is something to do, see? Because that encourages me. I see you constantly, regularly there, and you press against your aches and your pains and your sufferings, but you're faithful to God. You want to be at the house of God. You want to be ministered to, and you have an encouraging word for those younger coming along the way, see? That's a ministry. That's occupying. Don't give that up. Don't give that over. Don't rust out, wear out. As long as you're able, be here, if it's just your presence. Sister McCoy, which we all knew, most all of us knew her, her first husband was an evangelist, and she followed him in evangelistic work and was there by his side and helped him in that ministry when she was younger and even when she had her children, as much as she could. And there came a time when he died and he passed off and he went on and she remarried Brother McCoy. And he wasn't an evangelist, but she still had a work to do. And she didn't just set herself on a shelf and quit. She was faithful to the house of worship. She would always encourage the young people. She always put in a request to pray for the Lord's request. And she had another ministry, and that was writing letters to encourage saints in isolated places. You say, well, I've done my time, and I'm old now. She still had a work to do. God still had something for her to do. She was still occupying. And she wrote letters by the hundreds, literally. Brother McCoy's son was a printer, and he would print envelopes by the boxes, 500 to a box, with her letterhead on it, her address on it. And that's how she ministered. You see, she didn't just quit occupying, but she kept herself busy about God's work. Sometimes we become handicapped where once we were able to run go, worked hard, our heart was in it, but the old body won't allow us to do that anymore. I think about Brother Naylor, C.W. Naylor. He was a young minister, active in the ministry. Here's a young man going in evangelistic work, setting up tents, doing what he could for the Lord. And in the process of doing that, he was injured, severely injured, when a tent pole or stake fell on him somehow or another in raising the tent. And he was incapacitated to the extent that he spent the rest of his life in bed. Here was a man that was active, going into gospel work, and now it looked like his ministry was over. He was done. The Scripture says, "Occupy till I come." And that man didn't just lay down there and die and not do anything and go on a pity party for himself. He had struggles. Yeah, he had struggles. And he had temptations to pity himself. But God gave him another ministry. And he was faithful to that, and he occupied until the Lord took him out of this life. And that was a ministry of writing. And if you get some of his writings, The Secret of the Singing Heart, Heart Talks, they are writings, short writings, and Heart Talks in particular, of things that will brighten your day and encourage you, and you wonder, how could this man, lying upon that bed that had to be waited on and cared for, how could he write such joyful, wonderful things? He was a man that wanted to be faithful and occupied till the Lord came. We have a scripture in Ecclesiastes 11, the first verse. Occupy till I come. What are we doing? You say, "Well, I can't do much. It doesn't seem like anything that I do amounts to anything at all. I don't see any results. There's not any need for continuing on." Ecclesiastes 11 and 1 says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Occupy till I come." Maybe you don't see results. Maybe you don't get any praise. Cast it anyway. Occupy till the Lord comes. And there's a promise here. "For thou shalt find it after many days." The ministry that some have done, they never saw results of that in their lifetime. But they were faithful at it. They occupied until the Lord took them away. And long after they were gone, you begin to see fruits from that ministry because they were faithful to occupy. How will we come before the Lord? With what He's placed in our hands. He saved us. He's given us something to do, be it little or be it great. And He's told us to occupy till He comes. And when He comes back, He's going to reckon with us. And will He say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou in to the joys of the Lord." Or when He comes, will we be like the one with one talent? "I hid it. It didn't produce any fruit." We have a song in our songbook, number 385. "Nothing but leaves." How are we going to come before the Lord? How are we going to answer for our occupation? It says, "Nothing but leaves I've gathered. Yes, nothing but worthless leaves. I lived a good life. But was I occupying? When from the field of labor others bring golden sheaves, then in the day of judgment shall I be found with tares, when God's rewards the faithful with crowns of shining stars, gathering nothing but leaves, spending life's precious moments, gathering nothing but leaves. That's serious. And it reaches to us all, those that are saved, and it reaches to the unsaved. What are you gathering? I thought about the wheat and the chaff. Life comes along and we have storms in life and we get blown around and stirred around. And the way that wheat is winnowed and separated from the chaff is by casting it into the air and allowing the winds to blow away the chaff. And when we are thrown into the air, what does our life consist of? Do we have wheat? Do we have grain? Or is it just chaff? Are we living a chaffy life? And when those storms come, and they will come, we may get along real good for a while. It's coming. If it hasn't come, it will come in your life. When you will be tossed in the air, as it were, and the winds will blow, the storms will come. And if our life is only chaffy and we haven't been occupying, the chaff is blown away. Only the wheat remains. I thought of another song, number 254. We say, well, there's not much I can do. Let us do the little that we can do. Be it little or be it much, occupy until He comes. Be faithful. Number 254. How will God testify for us? How will we answer to Him? She hath done what she could, said the kind, loving Savior, when the ointment so precious was poured on His head by the hand of a sinner redeemed through His mercy, her contrition displayed by the tears that she shed. Are we bringing the gift of true love to the Savior? Are we honoring Jesus so gentle and good? Oh, how sweet it will be when our service is ended if we hear His voice say, "Ye have done what ye could." Pray for me. I want to be saved. I want to be faithful to the service of the Lord. Appreciate your attention tonight.